Okay, now let's go back to Romans 8 and verse 9. Now here's another fantastic, gracious viewpoint of God. So I want us to really think on this. This might be something to really meditate on. You know, I don't want you to poke yourself with needles or anything like that. I mean, we're all fleshly enough to understand we're still flesh. But notice verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That is, this is how God views us. That's a tremendous, tremendous attribute of grace, isn't it? Have to be. Let's look at it another way. So you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Could you, in viewing a newborn child, look at that child as if it was fully grown and mature? Our minds cannot comprehend that. Now that's how God views us. See? Though we're still human beings in the flesh, God doesn't view us as being in the flesh if we have the Spirit of God. That's what's so very important, brethren. Now, don't use that fornication to sin. I'll always have to interject in here, see, as Paul always has. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, which we know is the earnest, which we know is the down payment, which we know is the guarantee of eternal life. Spirit of God, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Wonderful words. Yes, indeed, wonderful words. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, absolute promise. That's why it's important to stir up the Spirit, we'll see. That's why it's important to grow in the grace and knowledge, as we know. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, or that is, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if we live after the flesh, or if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the flesh do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Again, right where I started in Galatians 5, that the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit fights against the flesh. So what do? You use the Spirit of God to put to death, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And you shall live spiritually. That's the whole battle. That'll be wonderful. When we get to the point like the Apostle Paul said, he said, I have run the race, I have finished the course, I have fought a good fight. As he walked after the Spirit, not after the flesh. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that's what becomes so absolutely important, being the sons of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. So that's one of the first things we need to note, and that is to be led by the Spirit of God. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean that you're not going to sin. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have trouble overcoming the flesh. But you're led by the Spirit of God. Now let's continue on, and we'll reiterate verse 14 again, since it's so terrific. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the children of God. The word here, sons, is weos, which is a broad terminology meaning the offspring of God, the children of God, or the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And this is how cults are made. This is how Satan entraps people with a spirit of fear. We haven't received that. Because the church of God is to be run by what? Love, not fear. We are to fear God because he is so great and marvelous and wonderful and powerful. We are to fear breaking the commandments of God because of sin. But we are not to be intimidated and run by fear, that is, someone leveraging something over us to use fear against us. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Nothing can. Okay? But you have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now that's something to really contemplate, isn't it? The spirit of sonship. That's what the word adoption means. It's not adopting. Because it's very evident that all men are the offspring and children of God, correct? Now we have been brought into the very family of God. And that's the spirit that God has given us. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And we're then to use that spirit, grow in that spirit, yield to God in every way that we can. And because we are led by the Spirit, here's some things that we should and should not do. Number one, let's not grieve the Spirit of God. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Very interesting statement that is here. Ephesians 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? You ever thought of that? How is it that you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? By yielding to sin. Yes, that's right. By using deceitful purposes of the human mind. You grieve the Spirit of God. Let's see what it says here. Let's go back to verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. That's part of what grieves the Spirit of God. Speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Those are all the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Let him that stole steal no more, rather let him work with his hands. Let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may give to him that has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Again, all of these things are those things which grieve the Holy Spirit, or frustrate, or work against the Holy Spirit. Let your communication be that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And aren't these all the things that sour and spoil and ruin relationships of brethren one with another and church one with another? Yes, absolutely. Is the Holy Spirit then grieved? Yes. Does there then have to be a healing of God's Holy Spirit within you? Yes. Okay, so don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Last verse there, verse 32. But be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God forgave Christ, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. Okay, now number two, along with grieving, don't quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5. Quench means to put out. Very interesting word, isn't it? Quench not the Spirit, or turn off the Spirit, or put out the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. says, quench not the Spirit. Don't put it out. Don't stop the power of God's Holy Spirit in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Now let's turn over just a few pages to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and this shows what we are to do. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and verse 6, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up. That's what trials and circumstances and difficulties will do for you. Create the circumstances so you stir up the Holy Spirit in your mind. Now, this helps draw you back to God, doesn't it? Wherefore, stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. Everyone here has me convicted. I told you 1 Timothy and it was 2. Okay, 2 Timothy, the first chapter. However, in reading it, some of you turned to the right place. That's good. Shows you know your Bible. But after I heard an inordinate turning of pages, I knew I misquoted. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God will do. So number 3, stir up the Spirit of God. Number 4 is what we're to do with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. So walk worthy of God's Holy Spirit. Number 5, Colossians 3, just a couple pages over again. Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Number 5, we are to seek the things which are above. Colossians 3 and verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So seek the things which are above. Verse 5 of Colossians 3. Well, let's just go on with verse 4 here, or verse 3 rather. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Now number six, verse five, mortify the deeds of the flesh. It's the fifth thing we are to do with the Spirit of God, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Wherefore mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay. Number 7, Ephesians 4. Number 7, Ephesians 4, and we'll finish right here in Ephesians 4. Okay. Ephesians 4. And verse 23, with the Spirit of God be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's what to use the Spirit of God for. When you put to death one, be renewed with the spiritual things, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, let's go over to verse 12. Ephesians 4. For the perfecting of the saints, that's what we're to use the Spirit of God for. It shows what the ministry is to do, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, that's what it's for. Not some great office, not some great thing, not some great superstructure within another structure, okay? till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. To that perfect character. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. Boy, I think we're learning this. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So that's what we're to do with the Holy Spirit. Grow up into Christ. What a tremendous and fantastic life. Long thing that God has set out for us to do. That is marvelous, brethren. So if we use the Spirit of God, realize and understand that God's Spirit is fantastic and great and marvelous and a tremendous thing to have as a gift from God, and then to use it to grow in the grace and knowledge, it's going to be fantastic, the things that God has in store for us.